Move to the fifth case this morning, Yanez v. City of Chicago.
May it please the court, my name is Ed Joyce. I'm here representing Thomas Giannis Jr. The city defendants here have convinced the district court that principles of res judicata and collateral estoppel do not apply to the single recovery rule or principle where there's a settlement. They've also convinced the district court that Mr. Giannis took conflicting positions before the Circuit Court of Cook County in the district court such that he should be barred from presenting damage evidence against the city defendants. We submit that the city defendants were wrong in both respects. They were wrong legally and they were wrong factually. We're asking the court to reverse the district court's May 10th, 2012 and subsequent orders which bar Mr. Giannis from arguing to the jury here that he is entitled to receive damages from the city defendants for various violations of federal and state law. The damages he seeks to be compensated for here are of the same type of damage he was compensated for previously in the state court. In the state court, Mr. Giannis sued his employer and some co-workers for breach of contract, defamation, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. He received a jury verdict of $3,177,500, which he thought was inadequate, and he therefore appealed. His employer also appealed and posted a bond. While the parties were on appeal, they settled by agreeing to pay Mr. Giannis $3 million. He, in fact, was paid that money. Because Keystone being the employer, and Giannis settled while on appeal, the judgment never became final, and therefore neither res judicata nor collateral estoppel should apply to prevent Giannis from asking the jury here to award him more than $3 million against the Chicago police. His lost income alone was $3.5 million, and his life has been completely destroyed. Because of the settlement, the defendant, Keystone, filed a motion with the trial court to release the bond and to vacate the judgment, something the defendant was entitled to under Supreme Court rule and under 12-183H of the Code of Civil Procedure. The defendants make much of the fact that Mr. Giannis assisted them by signing a release of the judgment. But the reality is Mr. Giannis had no ability to not do that. Number one, the case was settled. Number two, Section 12-183 provides in Section B that if the defendant's entitled to have the judgment vacated and the bond released, even if the plaintiff refuses to sign the documents, the court can and will do so. Now, the motion and the court order reflected that Keystone was moving under Supreme Court Rule 309 in Section 12-183H to release the bond and to vacate the judgment because there had been a settlement. Okay. Now, the government argues without citing any the city defendants argue, without citing any Illinois or federal authority, that by referring to 12-183H in the motion to vacate, the judgment, even though vacated, became final and therefore Mr. Giannis is barred from seeking additional damages from the police.
Well, the Keystone court didn't vacate simply because a settlement occurred, right? It wasn't just because a settlement occurred.
Because the settlement occurred, the defendant was entitled to have his bond released and the judgment vacated.
Yeah, and but you stipulated that the judgment had been fully paid. So I don't understand why this doesn't fall into Sacheck and why it wasn't final.
Well, we stipulated because, actually, we stipulated because the form order of the clerk of the Circuit Court of Cook County requires that order to be signed to release a bond. Now,
and you can't make any changes to it.
That's the order. You sign your name and that's it. But in this case, there's no question here of unfairness or confusion by the district, by the Circuit
Court
judge.
Let me go back to that. I didn't practice Cook County, but you can't change a thing in that.
First of all, this is something that the clerk says, give me this release, release the bond. Mm-hmm. So
we're only talking about $3 million, so I guess it didn't make too much difference.
Well, the bond was $4.5 million. Since the premium had already been paid, and the defendant was entitled to have the bond released.
Wasn't it dismissed for full satisfaction of the judgment?
Absolutely, because under 183, when you settle, there's full satisfaction because you received the benefit of your bargain in settlement.
Right.
And there's no cases that have interpreted 183 as saying that, well, you'll only have the benefit of 183 if the full judgment has been paid. When a settlement takes place, the plaintiff could have received more than the judgment, or less than the judgment. There was a settlement. And as a result of there being a settlement, there's no final order, so there's no res judicata and no collateral estoppel. And here, the trial court judge in Cook County understood completely, because both the motion and the stipulation provided the motion was being filed pursuant to a settlement. Okay. This court, as well as the Appellate Court of Illinois, has consistently held that a vacated judgment has no collateral estoppel or res judicata effect, citing Pontarelli, Limousine, and Korshak. No case has ever taken exception to that. Okay. Now, without acknowledging that they were asking the district court to make new law, the city defendants have argued that the single recovery principle has nothing to do with collateral estoppel. But without collateral estoppel, that principle has no consequence. You need to have collateral estoppel in place to prevent the plaintiff from seeking additional damages.
Yeah, but the single recovery rule applies even if the judgment is vacated and the case is dismissed.
You're referring now to the Sacheck decision in the Illinois Supreme Court. And in that decision, which is totally different from this case, the plaintiff sued two individual defendants who were each responsible for her damages, but who did not move jointly, didn't work jointly. She got a default judgment against one defendant. She then had a prove-up as to her damages. The judgment became final, and she collected. So in Sacheck, it was a final judgment. There was no appeal involved. There was no settlement. And she received 100% of the damage award.
Go ahead.
So that is different here from a case where there's been a settlement and where there's just no case that
both
says...
Both parties agree it's settled.
Right.
We agreed to settle.
I'll tell you that, frankly, this makes very little sense if it weren't for attorney's fees. You end up with a case that looks like the Illinois Supreme Court case controls. The federal courts buy that. You've got both sides indicating that this was a full satisfaction of a judgment.
Your Honor, you have to provide us a full satisfaction of judgment in order to get the judgment released and to get the bond released. And there's no case that says you can't satisfy a judgment by a settlement. Now, if this...
So you have a form. You can't change the form. You can't do an addendum. You can't have a side agreement that expresses what you're saying now, that you're owed the additional $200,000?
Well, Your Honor, there's no need, I submit, for a side agreement because the motion before the trial court judge said this is being... we're moving pursuant to a settlement. And the settlement resulted in a payment of the judgment. So once there's a settlement, the only issue that's left to deal with is the size of the set-off. Because with the settlement in place...
So why wasn't there a settlement for 3.2?
Well, because we couldn't negotiate 3.2. We could negotiate $3 million. But it should make no difference. The settlement could have been for $10 million. Once you've got a settlement and you've got a judgment vacated because of the settlement, there's no collateral estoppel or res judicata effect. Okay. Now, the other thing that we take exception with, the city defendants argued to the court that Janus took conflicting positions before Circuit Court of Cook County and the District Court in response to their motion for partial summary judgment. There is no cite in the record to any facts to support that. Before the Circuit Court of Cook County, Janus took the position that there was a full satisfaction of the judgment by way of settlement. He's never changed that position anywhere. So it's a rather extreme result for him to be enjoined from pursuing claims against the defendants where the previous judgment was vacated and where no law would support this. And the other issues that the court dealt with here, the court supported the notion of judicial estoppel by referencing...
It was vacated, but there was full satisfaction of the judgment paid.
There was... You sign a form that says...
I got
judgment
it.
Is satisfied.
I got it. You signed a form.
Correct. But there's no question that form is signed in every case, even where there's a settlement. And if this court accepts the notion that results in a final judgment, that means there'll be no settlements. People will not settle these cases. They'll have to go through the appellate process, which will just expand litigation. This court and the Illinois courts are trying to foster settlements. So finally, Your Honor, the court supports her estoppel decision by referencing the Contribution Act. Everybody agrees it doesn't apply here. She also references the fact that Janus reallocated the damages in the settlement agreement without ever deciding whether the reallocation helped or hurt the city when it came to the offset.
Of course, I think that if we adopt your position, it'll be no settlements because settlement won't mean settlement, and the defendants will think there's more money to come after and that the settlement agreement is meaningless.
Well, but the plaintiff who receives the defendant who gets the settlement has a full release. The judgment is vacated. That defendant has no problem. It would be the defendant in the second case that has to contend with the fact that all the benefit they get from the settlement will be the offset, which is all they're entitled to.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Henrique.
May it please the court. The judgment in this case in favor of the single recovery principle barred Janus from obtaining compensation in this case for the same injuries he alleged in claims in the Keystone case on which the jury awarded him compensation. In his reply brief, Janus contends that the single recovery principle does not apply in this case for one reason. He mentioned that again today. In his reply brief, he emphasizes a sentence from the Illinois Supreme Court's decision in the Sacheck case stating that the single recovery principle does not apply unless, quote, a valid and final judgment has been entered, unquote. And he asserts that the judgment on the jury's verdict in the Keystone case was not final because it was vacated. That assertion does not help Janus, since the judgment in the Sacheck case was likewise vacated, yet the Sacheck court held that the single recovery principle did apply. The judgment in Sacheck was vacated under Section 12-183H of the Illinois Code of Civil Procedure, which authorizes a court to vacate a judgment on the basis that it was fully satisfied. Thus, Sacheck establishes that the single recovery principle different from res judicata and collateral estoppel, applies even where a judgment has been vacated if the judgment has been vacated under Section 12-183.
So your view is that single recovery rule is in effect encompassed in the judgment of dismissal. Is that right?
The single recovery principle, yes. It's encompassed within the judgment of dismissal.
Now, by virtue of the statute?
By virtue of the statute, that's correct.
Is that the general rule in the country? If there's
no, it may not be, but it's the rule in Illinois.
So this is at least an idiosyncratic Illinois rule.
Yes, I think it's certainly different than the federal rule under which the district court has jurisdiction whether to vacate a.
Saychek standing out there by itself. Are there other Illinois cases that confirm that rule?
Yes, there are, and we cite them in our brief. I can't think of those decisions offhand. But what's interesting and what refutes Mr. Joyce's position is Section 12-183H not only requires a judge to vacate a judgment that has been fully satisfied, but also requires that the case be dismissed. And in the Keystone case, the trial court dismissed the case with prejudice under 12-183H. And of course, a dismissal with prejudice is a final judgment. And it was remained final not only when the court entered it, but also when the parties, after appealing the case, then decided not to pursue those appeals. That was their prerogative, not to pursue the appeal. So we have a jury verdict in the case, and then we have a party's appeal timely. Then we have the parties the defendants fully satisfying the case, and at the same time that they also agree to dismiss their appeals. And so we do have a final judgment in the case, contrary to what Mr. Joyce says. Thus, the single recovery principle barred Janus from obtaining compensation in this case for the same injuries he alleged in the claims in the Keystone case on which the jury awarded him compensation. Now, we have a separate argument in our brief that the settlement agreement released the officers from liability. We will rest on our briefs with respect to that argument. Unless there's any further questions, we ask the court to affirm the judgment of the district court.
Thank you, counsel. How much time? You have. I'll give you another minute. Your
Thank
time
you,
is.
Two things I'd like to point out. The Saychek decision, which actually supports us, went down in a different fashion. The plaintiff gets a default judgment. The plaintiff has a hearing on damages. It becomes final. 30 days have passed. No appeal. She collects 100% of her damages. Because of that, she's entitled to a dismissal under 183. She got her dismissal. Totally different situation than us. In our situation, the order, which is attached to the appendix, is 48 through 50, clearly reflects that the order is being entered because of the stipulation being signed by the parties. It's referenced in paragraphs 1, 2, and 3, and the stipulation being, we're here, Your Honor, asking for this order to be released because of the settlement. In addition, I think the city either might have misspoke or I might have misheard them, but in the Keystone case, there was no final order of dismissal until after the case had been settled. And it was because the case was settled. So the fact that it was dismissed after that with prejudice, under all the cases we've cited, under federal law and state law, you don't have a final judgment that gives a res judicata or a collateral estoppel effect, and therefore the single recovery rule is not implicated. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under